try not to miss any of it. I guess maybe the Super Bowl got some of our folks tonight. But I feel in my heart that this is one of the contributing factors to so much confusion in the churches. People not aware of what really needs to be done in the church, what a church is. The average person that I know a thing about, I mean, of course, I think you'd be a little more advanced than that, but the only thing I know is where the church is and what time the services are. And sometimes they can remember the preacher's name, sometimes they can't. I've asked folks, you know, who's your pastor? And they say, well, what is his name? I've had that happen I don't know how many times. And I'll tell you one thing that Brother Mike wanted me to convey to you tonight, and that's the fact that no two preachers are alike. You know, God calls one fellow for one thing, and calls another fellow for another thing, and another fellow for another thing, down the line. And this fellow we had here, Brother Jim, what he said was wonderful. I'll tell you, he was a jam of good preacher. I like for a fellow to call the shots like it is. But the only thing about it is when I got home, I was worn out watching him run. They figured he got tired of running back and forth. As far as I'm concerned, I think I could have heard just well. But now that's him. This is what I want you to see now. That's what God's got him for. You can't do what another preacher can do. It's been kind of funny through the years. I used to work with Dr. Percy Ray out of Myrtle, Mississippi up there. We did a lot of work up in Tennessee. And he was an evangelist, and little preachers all over the country starting out trying to imitate him, you know, and try to do like he did. And one time Brother Percy could do things and get away with it. Now some preachers can do that. Now this fellow we had here, he can holler and run and get away with it. But another fellow come along. He tried to copy him. They tossed him out the first service, you know, put him out in the street. And Brother Percy one time got him a pack of these little firecrackers where you can light one and they all go off, you know. And he waited until everybody got in and got seated. And he came in the back door and he lit those firecrackers. Everybody went straight up, you know. Had all the time. And then he went up there and preached on the second coming of the Lord. You know, he said, that's where it's going to be. You're going to be sitting there with your bare face hanging out. And, you know, won't be ready. Well, the next Sunday, a little fella heard that, so he saw he'd try it in his church. He did, and they fired him on the spot. They put him out. Yeah, so one can do something and another one can't. And Brother Mike and I were talking about it, and one of the hardest things in the world that I had in the ministry was when you have a good preacher come in and you have a good revival, and then you got to follow that next Sunday. You know, you meet and stops on Friday night, and you got to pick up on Sunday and start again. It's hard to do. It really is. But I'll tell you, we've got a good preacher. And you can mark that off. I tried most all the churches in this area. And Brother Mike is deeper in the Word. And he amazes me how he can quote so much Scripture. Now, he got me skinned country mile on that part of it. And he has good thoughts. And I've been around him enough, and we've hunted and fished together enough, and we've talked about spiritual things enough to know that he studies. You can just take that to the bank. He spends a lot of time studying. And so the problem that we've got, let me see if I can get the problem out here in front of you as to why we're doing what we're doing here. It's a sad thing that we have one office getting over, bleeding over into another office. You know, because people don't understand. It's not really the people's fault. And I want to say that to you out of the bottom of my heart. It's not the people's fault. It's the preacher's fault. I won't tell you anything got reverend tacked on his name is not really what he ought to be. And I'm thoroughly convinced that we have preached people to death, just about it, and hadn't taught them. Have you ever noticed, almost invariably, when Jesus was doing something with the crowds, he said he sat down and what did he do? He taught them. Sat down, he taught them. And so it's not easy to do that. What I'm doing this week is not easy to do. It's just teaching. I've been an evangelist, and I'm an evangelist top of my head through the bottom of my feet. Been that a long, long time. But now there's a difference between an evangelist and a teacher. And I'll be the first one to admit that I'm not what you'd call a full-fledged teacher. But I like to share what I've seen and what I know work and what I know won't work. And I can guarantee you that whatever I teach you here, you can take it to the bank as far as the church is concerned, because of an evangelist with his heart in the right place is concerned about the church. It's not so much getting people saved, which is the most important thing above everything. But now your church. That's what happened when I built the 10 churches over in India. I went over there and we had a big crusade. Had just thousands of people. Had the Lord only knows how many people that came down and made professions of faith. But when I left, it all left with me in a sense of the word. I think you know what I'm talking about. We didn't have a church for these folks to go to. And I said, this won't do. That's like somebody having a baby and taking out and throwing it in a briar patch and expect it to grow, you know, and be able to feed itself. Can't do that. That's the reason we have the church. This is a place where we come to receive instruction, you know, in righteousness, where we can grow. This is a direct command of the Bible that you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so there's no place to level off and say, I've learned it all. There's no place to just take everything for granted on your own. It just can't be. So that's the reason I went over there and built the 10 churches. When we get folks saved over there, out in those bushes of India, we had a church for them to go to so they could learn. But now you've got a mess on your hands whenever you've got, well, let's just run down the line, kind of what I'm going to be talking about. You've got a mess on your hands whenever the office of the preacher bleeds over into the office of the deacon. I think you can see how that could cause trouble. You see, when the preacher tries to run the deacons or whatever, they don't understand, he doesn't understand his place, then you're going to have trouble. And then for some reason or other, it's not scriptural by any stretch of the imagination, that a bunch of deacons are supposed to run a preacher. You know. And for some reason or other, the deacons in our country has learned or got some erroneous information, didn't get it out of the book, that they can hire the preacher, fire the preacher, and tell the preacher what to do and what not to do, and so on and so forth. And so their office is bleeding over into the office of the preacher. And what have you got? You got that, haven't you? All right. Then we have all these officers in the church and so on and so forth. Sunday school teachers and et cetera. So tonight now, for instance, we're going to talk about preachers. I'm going to tell you some things about preachers tonight that maybe you hadn't even thought about. And I'm just going to bare my heart to you. I'm not going to pull back any punches, and I want you to understand that. I'm just trying to get our church in a good position if we're going to be reaching out, that we want to give the people something when we get them in here, besides a fuss and an argument of some kind. I don't have any use for that. I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. I don't want to fight with anybody about anything. And if anything that bothers me is friction in the church. That bothers you. It tears your home up. It tears your life up whenever you have to worry about that. But what we need to be doing is to worship and work. And so we need to learn everything that we possibly can. So tonight, if you want to make a topic there, if you're taking some notes, who is my pastor? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Who is he? Who is this guy that we got here? Does he belong to us? And are we got him hired? And so on and so forth. Well, I think when I'm through tonight, you're going to find out that we hadn't got him hired. We hadn't got him hired at all. And I want to start with a verse of Scripture, just one verse of Scripture found over 1 Corinthians 16:10. 1 Corinthians 16:10. Now, you remember, this is the church where there was so much trouble. Paul had more trouble with this church and all the rest of them put together. And they were fussing, fighting. They were fighting over the Lord's Supper. That was for the lack of understanding. They were fighting about the preacher they had. One said, I'm of Paul. Another, I'm of Apollos. Another one said, I'm of Cephas. They were having all kind of confusion. And then there's a lot of immorality in the church. And Paul just had all kind of trouble with his church. All right, now he's well off. And he's had been in Macedonia. He says, I come to you when I shall pass through. This is verse 5 now. When I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way. But I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. All right, he couldn't go himself. He said, I'd love to come, but I can't. I can't make it this time. He said, I'm going to send Timothy over there. Timothy is going to be coming through. And here's what he says about Timothy. He says, now if Timothy, come, see that he may be with you without fear. Now, that's what we're going to talk about tonight, to see that he can be with you without fear. In other words, he says, if Timothy comes your way, I'm going to kind of paraphrase here for you for a minute now, be sure to make him feel at home, make him feel at home and welcome among you. For he's working for the Lord just like I am. So none is to look down upon him. I said, I want you to make him feel at home. Now, that's extremely important. You know, if you got a happy preacher, you got a happy church. And so whenever Timothy comes through, says you let him feel at home among you, and to work with you without fear. All right? So for some reason or other, there's bad blood between preachers and congregations all over this country. You can't hardly hear of a church anywhere that there's not bad blood between the preacher and some of the folks in the congregation. All right? And so this generation... And rightly so, because of the ungodly conduct on the part of some preachers. Now, let me just say this right out of the bottom of my heart. It's not an easy thing to be a preacher. I mean, it takes... I used to think preachers and Christians were sissies, you know, back when I was so macho myself. I just thought, you know, they're just a bunch of sissies. But I found out it takes a real well-rounded man, I mean with some backbone, to be a preacher. I mean the right kind of a preacher. Just like being a Christian, it takes some real backbone for you folks to take a stand out where we have to live in the world every day. It's not an easy thing to do. So now what I want to do tonight now is to help you to understand what a real preacher is like. He's employed by the Lord. I told you this morning, somebody's going to get down right where we live. He's employed by the Lord. There's nobody but nobody, no church anywhere that has ever moved me in that direction by offering me money. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not going to minimize that. The man of God has to eat just like you do. He has to pay bills exactly like you do. It's hard for him to make ends meet, and a lot of times I've seen time I couldn't make ends meet. But I'm employed by the Lord. I never figured that a church that was paying me a salary had me hired. I hope you can get that out of your head. Now, if you think that you got somebody hired here, that you got Mike hired, I hope you get that out of your head. No, sir. No way in the world. So he's employed by the Lord. All right, the fourth thing about him is the means and the instruments for doing it is laid down by the Lord. This Bible tells me what I can do and what I can't do. And there's not a church on the face of God's earth that has the right to tell me, as a servant of God, what I can do and what I can't do. You know, that's right. God hadn't ordained you anywhere in this book to tell the man of God what to do. Now, I know you say, well, that ain't right. We need, if you don't tool the mark and we'll chunk him out. It may be the biggest mistake you ever made. Now you better remember that one. That could be a fatal mistake. Because the man of God, if he's the right kind of man of God, he's going to follow this book irregardless of whether you like it or not. Now, if he's the right kind of a man, the right kind of preacher, he would a lot much rather you like it. I don't know the day I ever walked in the pulpit to beat anybody over the head about anything. It's the Word of God that cleans it up. You know, if you got a mess, the answer's in the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, sir. And so that's what I do. I follow this book. If I get ready to preach on Bob Tarr, Bossy Wise, and women preachers, I go ahead and preach on it. I don't think he's going to lead me to do that anytime soon. I don't think. Boy, did I ever get into it in Delhi, Louisiana here a while back. We was there eating dinner, and in come this woman with cowboy boots on, cowboy breeches. And the preacher punched me and said, that's the pastor of the Methodist church here. Woman. And by that time, the door opened up, and here come a great big bunch of people in that knew me. And they was all hiding with me. They went back in an area back there to have dinner. They said, whenever you get through eating lunch, come back and visit with us. You know, and she went back there in that room, and I forgot about her going back there. That's the bad thing about getting old. You forget some important things sometimes, you know. And I walked back in there and one of them said, "What you going to preach on tonight, Brother Joe?" I said, "Bobbed hair, bossy wives, and women preachers." Now that Methodist, my first Methodist church over there, sitting there. And they realized what happened. They said, "What did you say?" And I said, "I'm going to the house." All right. So, the means and instruments for doing what he's supposed to do is laid down by who? The Lord. It may not suit your fancy, but when did God tell you to tell God, man, what to do? Okay. Here's another thing now. His great objective is to glorify the Lord. He's the right kind. I'm talking about the right kind of preaching now. It's to glorify the Lord. And that takes in, that covers a lot of territory. I've seen a lot of fellas that did everything but glorify the Lord. They get mad and throw a fit, tear a church up. I know some preachers that just literally torn churches all to pieces. I've had to follow in after a bunch of them through the years. And literally, I knew as well as I knew my name that they were dead wrong. But now, did God call anybody to straighten him out? Better listen. All right. Now, here's another thing. His success is from where? The Lord. That moved in the heart of every soul that I've led to the Lord through these years. Everything I've ever done, everything I've ever accomplished in the Lord. Building those 10 churches in India, you say, "Oh, what is that?" Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was hard to do in the first place, and in the second place, I didn't do it. If it hadn't been for God, I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have raised over $500,000. Down there to build those 10 churches. It just came from everywhere. Churches would send me money and find out what I was doing down there. And, everybody was Southern Baptists don't bother with anything they don't do exactly themselves. Now, I'm a Baptist from top of my head to the bottom of my foot, but I'm a preacher first, I'm a Christian first, and a preacher second, and Southern Baptists can go jump. I can walk in any of them's office. But now they don't tell me what to do. No way in the world. So his success, the preacher, comes from the Lord now. And his final reward, God will confer it on him. Ms. Ross and I were sitting there the other morning and there the president was, President Bush, and I admire him. I think he's a great fellow. And you can't help but think, you know, how wonderful it must be in a position like that, you know. And I've been to the White House and sat down with Reagan and shook hands with him and talked to him and so on and so forth. And it's wonderful to be in a position like that. George W. Bush has got more power than any other person in the world. He can say to this one, "Go," and that one, "Stay." But I wouldn't trade these 58 years of mine for all of the George Bushes you could get in this room. No way. I'm looking forward to that day whenever I stand before the judgment seat up there and the Lord Jesus begins to take up my case. There's going to be some things I'm going to have to hang my head. But I'll tell you one thing. I spent 58 full years and serving him, and I wouldn't trade that for any king that ever reigned, any president that ever sat. I'd rather be a preacher than anything I know of in this world, and not interested in anything else but that. And so my reward is coming from him and not a church. All right. Now, let's move from that. We've got that settled, I hope. Oh, yeah. All right. Sorry, I'm going to wind down right here because we're fixing to start into another division. Thank you, Dr. Bucket. Did the Lord tell you to tell me that?
I hope so.
All right. Here it is, Miss. Now, the next study is going to be the views of his work, what he's supposed to do. You don't want to miss that. All right, you're dismissed.